All right, 2 Peter chapter 1 this evening. 2 Peter chapter 1, it is a privilege to be able to preach tonight. And I definitely, every time you get up and preach the Word of God, there's a great responsibility. You'll have to answer the Lord one day for everything you preach. So, great responsibility. But I think that the message Lord has laid on my heart, I believe, is something that we can all walk away from tonight and apply it to our lives in a very specific way. I trust that as we were listening this morning that your heart will be open and already premeditated decision beforehand to obey whatever God shows you tonight. So 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read, we're going to actually all stand together in just a minute, and we're going to read verses 3 through verse 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Tonight we're going to have a simple math lesson from the Bible. A math lesson from the Bible. So once everyone finds their place, let's all stand. I think everyone's there. And we'll read verses 3 through 11. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Spirit of God, we do ask that you would illuminate this truth to us, that you would help us understand the Word of God this evening. You are the teacher, and so we ask that you would teach us tonight. And I pray that our hearts would be open. Lord, we all are in need of adding more to our faith. And so I pray that tonight this great, important truth would hit home in each of our lives, that we'd see exactly where we're at, and that we would choose to add to our faith. So bless the Word of God tonight. Enable me as the preacher in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I don't know about you guys, but I know some of you are math people out here. For me, I am not so much of a math person. When I can remember many times in school, the lesson going right over my head. I was always thankful for the first couple weeks of school because you would always review all the easy stuff. And so I would do good in that. And then you'd get into the real stuff. And that was always challenging to me. But tonight, regardless of how good you are at math, I think we'll see here that it is entirely possible to be great at math, but in need of a math lesson spiritually, in our spiritual life, in need of a math lesson. And here we have in 2 Peter, of course, the theme of 2 Peter was combating false prophets, false teachers, people that were trying to dissuade people from the truth and to cause them to, as it says in chapter 2 and 3, to live pernicious ways and to live according to their lusts. And so we have the Apostle Peter right here giving a way to combat the false prophets, to combat the false teachers. And the simple way he said to do it was to add to your faith. And we're going to see that here in this passage as we look at it tonight. But the first thing I want us to notice as we work through this passage is the key to adding right. The key to adding right. And we're going to see that in verses 3 and 4. Let's look at 3 and 4. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. To add right, you have to understand the foundation. You have to understand the prerequisites to what we're to be adding to our life. Well, first of all, we are to understand what Christ has done. In other words, what's in the bank? And I just, if you look at these two verses and you realize all that Christ has in the bank for us as believers, it is astounding. When you see that he has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We see that he has given us everything we need to live godly in this age. Everything we need to please him in our life. No Christians can say, you know what, God hasn't given me everything I need. I can't do it. He has given us everything that we need to live godly. Everything we need in this life. Even the physical things, he provides those. When we put him first in our life, Matthew 6:33, he says all these things shall be added unto us. He'll take care of even the physical things of our life, but also the spiritual things, and then godliness. We are able to live godly in this age. So, what we have in the bank, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It's not just part of it. Not something that we're going to try to earn and get all of it. No, he's right from the start giving us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Just let that sink in. But he goes on. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Exceeding great and precious promises. We could spend the rest of this evening going through the promises of the Word of God. And all the incredible things that God has given to us and promised to us as believers. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. Exceeding great and precious promises. The language that the apostle is using here is really meant to blow us away. Wow. He's given us all those things. How can we not live for him? How can we not add to our faith? Think of some of these things that he has given to us. He's provided salvation full and free. He's provided complete forgiveness of sins. You know, the song we just sang, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross. Exceeding great and precious promises. He's given reconciliation to God, to us. He's given us a pure conscience. You know, before you got saved, can you imagine a conscience that's always nagging you? And when you get saved, you can now have a pure conscience and a glorious inheritance. He's given us so many things that are putting us on the right path so that we can add to our faith and that we can eventually, as we look, we'll see later in the passage, get to this place of settled confidence in our faith. So the key to adding right is to understanding all the things that Christ has done, what we have in the bank as Christians. You know what? You might not have a lot in the bank physically here on earth, but you have a lot in the bank in heaven if you're a Christian. Now notice also the reason why that all these things, we have these things in our bank account. When we are saved, we're placed into Christ and we have access to his bank account. But it's for a reason. Look at verse 4. That by these promises and all the things that are given unto us, we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, one of the glorious things at salvation is that we are now in union with Christ. And that is really the foundation for everything else that is to come into our life, because without Christ, we can do nothing. We can't add to our faith. He is the one that gives us that faith. And so he is the start of it all. And so when we are placed in union with him, the Bible says we are given at salvation a new nature that's created in righteousness and true holiness. Wow. All these things. And so what the Apostle Peter is doing, he's reminding these people that were discouraged through persecution, through these false teachers that were trying to get them to get off of Christianity and believe things that weren't true. He was reminding of all the things they have in Christ. The incredible storehouse that they, when they got saved, received in Christ Jesus. And then he's going to go on in verse 5 and continue to show them all the things that they can add to it. So we see here, first of all, the key to adding right is understanding all the things that God has provided us. And we could really spend a whole sermon just on those two verses, looking at all the things God has promised us and how they are really the foundation for the Christian life and the ability to escape the corruption that is in the world through us. Has anyone noticed that, you know, just being in part of this world, it can have a wear on you? It can wear you down? This world is full of corruption or deceit and is just destroying believers. But you know what? We need to remember that we have been made partakers of the divine nature with Christ. And so we have everything we need to be able to live in this society, no matter what society we live in, no matter how ungodly this culture gets. We have everything we need because we are made partakers with the divine nature. We have this great storehouse in heaven of blessings and promises that God has given us that ought to encourage us, like it did for these people, to live for God. Despite what false teachers are saying, despite what the culture around us is saying, and despite the persecution we may face. So the key to adding right is, as it says here, is to understand all these different things. To understand the reason why God has given us all these incredible things. But the third thing to adding right, this is really the foundation, then we're going to get to the math lesson, okay? The third thing is the right attitude. Okay, and we're just starting in verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. This is really the focus of my message tonight. Giving all diligence. You know, when I was studying this, first thing that really came to my mind was someone who is starting a business. When you start a business, it's not something for someone who's lazy to do. It's something that someone has to have dedication and focus. You know, a businessman, when he sits down and he says, you know, I'm going to start this business, he is going through all the processes of trying to make sure that that company succeeds. He doesn't want it to fail. He sacrifices. He'll stay up late. Sometimes if you're starting a business, you have to do it all. And so he's going through all the books and he's looking for any way that might slip the company up and hurt the company. And so he is giving all diligence. And really, if you want to make a company succeed, you have to give all diligence and be constantly involved in that company, trying to make it go. And so that's the idea here. When the Apostle Peter says, and beside this, beside all these incredible things that Christ has already given to us, we've been made partakers of the divine nature. We've been given this great storehouse. We have this incredible bank account in heaven as believers. And he says, beside this, in other words, there's something that is coming alongside of this reality. And it's this adding to our faith. This giving, the verb here for giving is the only time it's used in the New Testament. And it literally means to bring alongside of. So here we have this incredible storehouse of what God has provided for us. We have these incredible truths and realities that we are in union with Christ. And he says, beside this, bring alongside something else. And that is the adding to your faith. And that's our responsibility. Yes, verses 3 and 4 magnify what God has done for each believer. But the following few verses are what we as believers ought to be doing to increase our faith, to become more like Christ, and to be more like Him. Giving all diligence, persistence, everything we have, because as if our life depends upon it. That's the kind of attitude that we ought to be having. This verb here for giving all diligence is really subordinate to verses 3 and 4. You have 3 and 4, that's the foundation. But this next part is us coming alongside and doing what we are supposed to be doing, adding to our faith. It is contingent. What we are doing is contingent upon what Christ has already done. Friends, you cannot do this work if Christ has not already done His work of imparting His riches and His storehouse of blessing that come with salvation. Friends, it starts with salvation. If you don't have salvation tonight, the rest of the message won't work. Because you have to add to your faith. And we're going to see that here in just a minute. He says to add to your faith. He didn't say we'll get there. I won't go there right now, okay? So we have to give all diligence. This is the right attitude. if we are going to add to our faith, if we are going to do this math problem correctly, we have to have the right, we have to understand these important truths, and we have to have the right attitude. Okay, so that's the key to adding right. Understanding everything Christ has done, understanding the reason why he has given us all these things, and then having the right attitude, which is giving all diligence. Now, secondly, the second main point here is the addition problem. Let's go into the addition problem, the math problem, in verses 5 through 7. So, I'll read verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Now, as he goes through this list, you're going to see that he says, add to your faith. Faith is something these people already possess. They already had salvation. So he wasn't saying you need to get more faith. He says you've already have the faith. You need to add to your faith something they already had. But these other things, giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, all these things, these were the qualities. These were the things that these believers were supposed to seek and to add to their life. When the work that we are to be diligently doing here is adding to our faith. This is an imperative command, friends. This is something that God is specifically saying to each believer, add to your faith. It's a responsibility that we have. It's something we cannot just say, I'm not going to add to my faith today. No, this is something that as believers, we are to be doing, adding to our faith. It has a note of urgency. Why? We'll see it later in the passage, so that the believer can be kept from the incredible consequences of not adding to his faith, as we see in verse 9. So, the apostle here is saying we need to be adding to our faith with all diligence, add to your faith. So, we see here that it begins with faith, it begins with salvation. Each quality, as we go through here, is based on the previous quality. It starts with faith. But then the first thing we come to here is virtue. Virtue, moral courage, energy in the exercise of their faith, translating it into vigorous action. It's a strong desire to obey and learn. And Pastor touched on this some this morning. But an incredible thing, virtue has to precede knowledge. Mm-hmm. Knowledge is dangerous to those who do not have virtue. To those who do not have that strong desire, that premeditated decision to obey the truth, that courage to say, you know what? I'm going to obey every truth that God commands me. I think someone that has an example of that virtue is that man that got to say, was it Mr. Womble who said when he got saved, now I want to know all the rules. That was someone who said, premeditated, made a decision, said, you know what? I'm going to obey the Bible. Just show me what I need to do. And so when that knowledge came along and he was taught the words of God, the virtue is there. That desire to obey the word of God was there and he obeyed it. That's the idea here. That strong desire to obey. Knowledge is powerful to those who have virtue. Peter doesn't say the first thing to add is knowledge, because if someone doesn't have the desire to courageously obey what he knows, then there is no reason for him to know it. And you know what? I've said this before to the young people, this church, Bible quizzers. You have so much knowledge. I wish I had all that knowledge and the scripture memorized like you do. But you know what? If you don't have virtue, that strong desire to know and obey God's word, that knowledge is going to hurt you. Knowledge puffs up. And we see this reality in John 7:17. If someone wills or has decided beforehand to obey, they will know the doctrine. They will know the truth. And so it has to start with virtue. It has to start with this strong, compelling desire to know God's word. And not just know it, but to obey it. That courageous action. Is that you tonight, friend? When the preacher gets up to preach the word of God, is your heart already beforehand determined and made up and says, I'm going to obey it. Whatever God shows me tonight, whatever the Holy Spirit teaches me through His Word, I am going to obey it. Or is there going to be a tug of war with you and God? Who's going to, what truth am I going to obey? See, virtue has to precede knowledge. And there's a reason that this whole order that he gives, there's a definite reason. It was inspired of God. God had, you know, when we follow God's plan, it always works. You know, and in the business world, there's a well-tested plans to success, and people will follow those. Businessmen make sure they follow those plans. But if you want success in your Christian life, here's the plan. Here's the blueprint. Give all diligence to add to your faith. Add to your faith virtue, that strong desire to obey, but then add knowledge. What is knowledge? The knowledge here speaks of practical knowledge, which is able to discern between right and wrong. Now, remember the context of 2 Peter. He was dealing with false teachers. There was a need to know right and wrong and be able to discern the truth. And the way to combat false teachers was to desire to know the truth and obey it. Heber, in his commentary, said, "The cure for false knowledge is not less knowledge, but a knowledge characterized by moral insight or virtue, that desire to obey. That's the cure." What he was saying was it has to begin with virtue. If there's no virtue, that desire to courageously obey what you know, you're susceptible for false teachers. And so that is such a key in our life, is to know, have that desire to obey God's word. I think of Proverbs 2. Pastor mentioned it this morning. But Proverbs 2, the idea of reverence and the fear of God with the knowledge of God, and how this cycle works. When you're training a child, and we're going to be getting there, but the first thing I want to do in Kian is to instill a fear of God. He might not have a great knowledge of God, but if he understands and has a fear of God, that is the prerequisite. Because then that fear of God, that reverence for God, causes him to desire to know God in a greater way. And that knowledge, the more he begins to know of God, his reverence increases. And so it's this cycle that we ought to get on in our life. And it's the same way here. When we add to our faith virtue, that virtue, desire to know, and then we get more knowledge, it gives us a greater desire to obey it and to know and to follow God's word. So is that you tonight? Is that you tonight? Do you have that strong desire to obey God's word? And then every time you get an opportunity to know more of God's word, it's already made up. You are going to decide to do what's right. You're going to obey God's word. When the Holy Spirit says to do something or to change something in your life, it's a done deal. There's no tug of war. It's already completed. Have you added virtue to your faith? Have you added knowledge to your faith? You know, knowledge is important, but obviously it has to come after virtue. But once you have virtue, once you have that strong desire to obey God's word, friends, you need the knowledge then. You need to grow in God, the understanding of the word of God. That's why it's so important to be in every church service. It gives you more opportunities to know the word of God. That's why you need to be in the word of God every single day, so that you can know and understand, so that you can apply it to our lives. Have you added to your faith? The third thing we see here is temperance. This is self-control. It's often used in the context of restraining sensual desires. But here it's broader. It affects all areas of life. It affects all the areas of our life. Self-control is the fruit of virtue and knowledge. Now, again, the false teachers are coming up here. They provide a stark contrast for what the believer ought to be and what they are. But think of it here. In comparison to false teachers, false teachers have set aside self-control. You know, look at, turn to 2 Peter, same book here, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. "And many shall follow their pernicious or lascivious ways," that's sensual ways and all sorts of forms of evil, "by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Then look at 2 Peter 3, 3. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts." They've set aside that temperance, that self-control that says, you know what? I'm not going there. I'm not going to yield to my flesh. And of course, the whole context of this, friends, is for a Christian, is that it's God's strength. It's God's strength. We have to be doing it in His strength. This isn't just us determining to, well, I'm not going to do that. No, we got to do it in God's strength. Through his strength and support. Peter stamps as false any religious system that claims that religious knowledge emancipates from the obligations of morality. That was Hebert who said that. Peter, the Apostle Peter, stamps as false any religious system that claims that religious knowledge emancipates from the obligations of morality.
That's right.
That is what we're living in today.
Yep.
People say, you know what, I've attained a level of Christianity and now I have liberty. I have freedom to do what I want to do. I don't have to be constrained by the law and the Word of God and the things that the Word of God says. I am free. And you know what? That is knowledge gone amok. Knowledge gone awry. People that don't have virtue, that have laid aside self-control, that temperance, they're not following the biblical pattern here of applying things to our lives. So you can be, you know, it's interesting. If you do any study of cults or false religions, many of their leaders, if you look at their life, were somehow immoral, had all sorts of moral problems. And it's because they got away from this. Some of them, many of them, obviously, because they weren't even saved. But that's an important reality here. Add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. And then moving on here, into temperance patience. You know, throughout my Christian life, I've come across people that have gone through incredible trials. Christians. Incredible trials. And, you know, you can meet those people that haven't let bitterness into their life because of trials. And you look at them and those who have responded right to the trials in their life, it's such a sweet thing to see those people who have endured great trials. And sometimes missionaries, you see missionaries who have gone through incredible things on the field, left family, left home, went through all sorts of perils on the mission field. And you look at them and they are people who are just so exemplary because they've added to their faith. And one of them is patience. This idea, it's more than just an inner attitude of calmness, you know, despite all sorts of circumstances and hardships. This carries the idea of being able to look to the future of what is coming and endure the current circumstances. Just like Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It's just a couple pages back. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. There's the idea of patience. Despising the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He saw the purpose of that trial was so that the whole world could be set free, could have opportunity of salvation. And friends, I think of the story of Joseph. All the trials that Joseph went through in his life, but they were for a huge reason. So many people get out of the trials. They say, oh, God has forsaken me, and they cash in. Right in the middle of a trial, and they forget, you know what? God has something down the road that he is trying to accomplish through this trial. Have patience. Add to your faith patience. What an important thing that we need in our lives. But moving on, and to patience, godliness. An attitude of reverence that seeks to please God in all things. An attitude of reverence. You know, this is something that is incredibly missing today. When God puts us through trials, he is doing it to help us become more godly. That's why the patience is so important. He is putting us through the fire so that we can be refined, become more like Christ, respond like Christ with his strength. Don't run from hardships. God is doing it for an end goal, not just to create godliness in us, but for many other reasons as well. But godliness, have you added to your faith godliness? Do you long for it? That's that premeditated decision. I'm going to obey God's word. Say, God, I know this needs to be a part of my life. Turning from the world and putting things that would please God into my life, obeying God and getting rid of the world in my life. You know, there's so many things you could say on that. But what an important thing that we need to be adding to our faith. Godliness. That a reverence for who God is. The holiness of God. Instilling it into our lives. And conforming our life to Him. Moving on, giving all diligence, add to your faith godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. I'm not going to re-preach this point. It was preached last Wednesday night in a great way. But Jesus said in John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." That brotherly love. 1 Peter 1:22, unfeigned love of the brethren. You know, the early church was characterized by this reality. That means they were adding to their faith. They were Christians who were adding virtue. They had virtue, and they were adding knowledge and temperance and patience and all these different things. And it was came to a point where they had brotherly kindness, incredible brotherly kindness. We should be like that too. We should be characterized by love. There shouldn't be all sorts of backstabbings in a church. There should be unity based, and there should be love for each other. We should be bearing one another's burdens and forgiving shortcomings and failures. We shouldn't just be saying it. Oh, we love the brethren. No, we should be showing that we love it, the brethren. Being willing to sacrifice for the brethren. We're going to spend eternity with them. Might as well begin down here to take care of them. So brotherly kindness. Then moving on to charity. Adding to your faith, not only brotherly kindness, but charity. Here it takes it another step farther. Not just loving those that are part of God's family, but loving those out there in the world, caring about their soul first and foremost. This is the natural climax in the Christian growth. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but above all these is charity, self-sacrificing love. Paul said the greatest thing was charity there in 1 Corinthians 13, self-sacrificing love. Faith is the foundation and love is the culmination in this process of growing as a Christian. It begins with faith and it culminates in love. Charity, as it says here. You know, Christians in the workplace ought to be the most caring, most helpful, most sacrificing people for the other people they work with. They ought to be the people that are willing to give a ride. They're willing to sacrifice. They shouldn't be known in the workplace as the stingy, grumpy old people. Or they shouldn't be known as the crude people. They shouldn't be known as the people that are hard to get along with. They should be people filled with charity, self-sacrifice, willing to give up their rights so that the name of Christ isn't blasphemed. Is that you in your workplace? Do people say, yep, that person is a real Christian? He loves everyone. I've never seen him blow up at anyone. I have never seen him throw wrenches across the shop. I've never seen him throw tools and cuss. That Christian is filled with charity. He loves like he ought to. He's a real Christian. I would trust that is the testimony that each person here has tonight in your workplace, in the places that you live, in the places that you go, that you would have that testimony of someone who is self-sacrificing in their love for other people. These are all aspects of the indwelling Christ being nurtured in the life of a believer. All these different things that we've talked to. It starts with Christ. It starts at salvation. Because we're saved, we're placed in Christ. And now we have been made partakers of the divine nature. These elements cannot be obtained without the aid of the Holy Spirit. It's not us saying, here's a checklist, okay, and today I'm going to add that and I'm going to be able to cross this off the list. No, because this is a never-ending process. We are to be growing in our, growth in all these different areas in our life. It's not like we get to some point 30 years as a Christian and we've been able to mark all these off and now we have completed it. No, we are to keep going. Look at verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The point I want to make here real briefly is that this is all about understanding God in a greater way. And He is infinite. We can never come to the end of the knowledge of God. And so we're adding to our faith so that we can get to know Him in a greater way. That's why we'll never come to a point where we have completely added all these to our life. Because we are to be adding these so that we can get to know Christ in a greater way and see how he has, how he was the perfect example of all these, and then how we are to live as well. So we've seen here the addition problem. We are to be adding to our faith. We're not just supposed to be working on one of these. These are something that we're supposed to be working on as a whole, incorporating into our life. But you know what, friends? As we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, as we focus on who He is, what we have in Christ, these things will just come naturally. But we have a responsibility to make sure that these are being added to our life. That if we have a problem with anger and brotherly kindness towards someone else, that we recognize that, we circle it, and we hone in on that problem and say, Lord, help me to love that brethren. Help me to have charity at work, to properly show the love of Christ to all those around me. So, how have you been doing adding to your faith? Are you doing well in your math lesson there? So, thirdly, I want to move on now to the answer. We've seen the math problem, and now I want to look at the answer. Back when my dad, some of you may know my dad's family, but he has an older sister, Mariana, and she married Wayne, Ray was his name, and he was a math major. And I always chuckle at this story. My family recognizes the story, but when he was dating my dad, my aunt, Mariana, my dad's youngest brother, Richard, was just in third and fourth grade, I think, somewhere around there. And so he was in the middle of a math class and came home one night, and his soon-to-be brother-in-law was there, and he knew that he was a math major, and he went on to be a math professor all his life and very brilliant math person. So my Uncle Richard came home one night as a third or fourth grade, I'm not sure the exact age, and he knew he was going to have some math problems that were pretty difficult for a third grader or fourth grader. But he was excited because he knew his soon-to-be brother-in-law was there, and he had graduated from college with a math major, and so he was going to have no problem. So he brings out his homework and asks his future brother-in-law if he could help him with the homework. And so, of course, this math major says, sure, I'll help you out. So he pulls out his math, and they start working, and they get all the problems done. And the next day, my Uncle Richard goes to class, and he's all excited because he knew he got everything right because his future brother-in-law, a math major, was helping him on his math. Well, they went through the work, and I think he got every single one wrong that day in class. And he was absolutely bummed, went home that night. And well, the problem was my Uncle Wayne was so advanced that he forgot the simple solutions. It was just subtraction or multiplication. It was something so simple. And I think he was thinking too deeply or something. Maybe he was thinking about his future wife or something. I don't know. But he missed the simple problem. And I think as Christians, so often we miss the real simple problem, which is we need to be adding to our faith. Maybe some of the problems you're facing in your life is because you've stopped somewhere and you've stopped adding to your faith. And that is a big deal. And we'll see that here. The answer. What is the answer to this math problem? Well, first of all, we see some positive and negative incentives for adding to your faith. The positive incentives of adding to your faith. This is the correct answer, by the way. To add to your faith, the positive incentives. Verse 8 says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the incentives for adding to our faith? Why is it tonight, besides verses 3 and 4, the incredible storehouse that God has given us, why is it that we are to be giving all diligence to add to our faith? So that we won't be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, the ultimate goal of the Christian is to know Christ and to grow in our knowledge of Him. If you read through 2 Peter, you'll see the word knowledge coming up over and over. It ends with, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here in verse 8 it says, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is infinite in past finding out. So we can continually grow in our relationship with the Lord and our understanding of Him. We won't grow barren or unfruitful. Right now, the time of the year, all the crops are coming up in the fields, and as you drive down the roads, I love just down the road here, you can see just the slight tint of green over the whole field. As those green pieces of corn begin to pop out, and they're starting to grow. But you know what? If you come around in a couple more weeks, and all the fields are covered, and you go by one field, and it still has last year's old corn stalks, that's a pretty, it makes you start wondering, right? It's like, what's going on with that field? What happened? They must not have planted anything in that field. And so, here you we see that it's not a good thing to be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every grace, I just love this idea here. This whole illustration is like a telescope. The end goal is to see God and to know God in a greater way. And every virtue, everything that we add to our life is like slipping another lens in that telescope that magnifies and intensifies our vision and the clarity of who Jesus Christ is. And you know what? Some people, unfortunately, haven't added a lot of lenses to the telescope. And so, as we'll see here, they can't see afar off. But those believers, our goal ought to be to see and know Christ in an incredibly clear way. And we do that by adding to our faith, putting those lenses in that telescope that magnify and strengthen our vision of who Jesus Christ is. The more we add, the greater we see Him, and our knowledge of Him increases. So, one positive incentive for adding to our faith is so that we won't be barren or unfruitful. Right there in verse 8. For if these things be in you, if you are adding to your faith and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now look down to verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Here we see that diligence again. The Apostle Peter is emphasizing, friends, this is a big deal. Give all diligence. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. What's another incentive? Friends, when we add to our faith like we ought, it makes our calling and election sure. We have a settled assurance of our salvation. I believe some people, Christians, struggle with assurance of their salvation because they don't add to their faith like they're supposed to. They don't give all diligence. And so it creates this lack of assurance to make our calling and election sure. But you know what? When we have gone through our life and we've added to our faith and we've added all the things, that the elements that God has wants us to, we have the virtue and the knowledge, it makes our calling and election sure. What a glorious thing. And then another positive thing in verse 11. Or verse 10, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Now, just this is a sure entrance into the eternal kingdom. This does not mean that they will never sin, but rather that kept from an irretrievable fall, they will complete their journey to their destiny. They are assured spiritual sure-footedness on their way to the eternal kingdom. Friends, when we add to our faith, Bible says it gives us that sure-footedness that we won't fall as we go on our journey to the heavenly kingdom. Incredible reasons and incentives to add to our faith. I want to notice the incorrect answer here. The negative incentives, you could say, of not adding to your faith. Look at verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. What a terrible blight to find yourself in. To have blindness and not be able to see afar off. The idea here is of a thick fog or smoke that hinders your vision. I think this explains, you know, some Christians, they're in a fog. And it's because they haven't added to their faith. They cannot see afar off. They can't see the coming of the judgment of the Lord. They can't see Him sitting on His throne and saying, one day I'm going to be standing before Him. They're temporal minded. They can only see the things that are right in front of them. They're not living for all the things that they're supposed to be living for. They are blind and cannot see afar off. They don't understand the future realities that they have in Christ. They don't have many lenses to get a clear vision of what is coming. Oh, may that be no person here tonight. That they could not see afar off and not and have it been be in this terrible situation. Another thing, they've forgotten, they were purged from their old sins. I don't understand all this, but what a terrible situation this is. Spiritual amnesia. Forgotten the best thing that has ever happened. I think this definitely explains why some people, you know, some Christians, you look at them and you're like, what's going on there? And certainly the case could be that these people aren't saved. You know, I'm not denying that at all. But I believe in some situations, the case is not just salvation, but the fact that they've stopped adding to their faith. And what a terrible situation to be in. So friends, we've seen very clearly here, a very simple blueprint. Add to your faith and look at these incredible blessings. We have every reason to add to our faith because of all the things that Christ has already accomplished for us. He's made it possible, but He only wants us to give us a greater knowledge of who He is. And so He says, add to your faith so that you can get the fullness of what I want for you. The fullness of a vision of Jesus Christ before we even get to heaven. He wants us to have that. And so friends tonight, are you adding to your faith? When was the last step? What was the last thing you added to your faith? When was the last decision you made that was a definite adding to your faith? Maybe it was some step the Lord showed you in your devotions and you said no. You heard it in the preaching and you said no. Maybe there's a sin, a bitterness, something in your life that you're resisting and you're not dealing with. And so this whole process of adding to your faith has stopped. What a terrible situation to go in. That is not the way God has intended it. He wants us to get all the fullness of Him. And the way we do that is by adding to our faith. Are you doing that tonight? Are you adding to your faith? Are you giving all diligence? Would that describe you? That person? You know, if we asked the other people in this church and said, what about that person? Are they giving all diligence? Would they be able to say, no, you know, I don't think so. I mean, they miss church here and there, and, you know, they just, you don't see them going forward much. Or would they say, you know what, that person is giving all diligence. Anytime the doors are open, they're here. Anytime they have an opportunity to learn the Word of God, they're doing it and they're soaking it up. And not only do they soak it up, they obey it. Is that you? Friends, if that's you, incredible blessings. If it's not, what a terrible situation to find yourself in. Blind and cannot see afar off and miss all the incredible things that God has for us. We live in a very similar day to these people here. Lots of voices, a lot of false teachers, and the way we are to combat that, very simply, is to add to our faith. Give all diligence, virtue. It begins there. Adding to your faith, beginning with virtue. Of course, it begins with salvation. But once you have salvation, it begins with that desire, that predetermined decision to obey every truth that God shows you. Is that you tonight? It's a very simple math lesson on addition. One of the simplest things you can learn in math class, adding. 1 + 1. And that's what we have going on here. 1 + 1 + 1. God wants us to be adding to our faith. And it all culminates in what? Charity. The peak. And we can get a glimpse of God. And so our process of growth is never done because we're looking at Him who is infinite and we are going to spend eternity getting to know. So let's start here on earth. How are you doing in math? Are you adding to your faith? I trust that you are adding to your faith. Let's pray. Father, tonight, when it all boils down to the simple truth here, Lord, it's just a simple truth. Giving all diligence to add to our faith. Oh God, I pray that this would be a church filled with believers who are adding to their faith. They're not being lazy about it. They're not being slothful, but they are giving all diligence to add to their faith, Lord, so that we can stand before You, have that sure-footedness as we come into the kingdom of God, have that settled assurance that we are Yours. And so, Father, I pray that You would work in each heart tonight. If there's someone here tonight that doesn't know You, that doesn't have faith, that hasn't been saved, that doesn't have the great storehouse of what we have in Christ as believers, I pray that they would see what they're missing out on and that tonight they would come to the Lord Jesus. And Lord, for most people tonight who know You, I trust that this truth, this simple truth of adding to their faith, Lord, would stir them to, first of all, have that predetermined decision to obey every bit of your word. And then that they could continue to grow in these important truths. With heads bowed, eyes closed, maybe you're here tonight, and just the simple truth was adding to your faith, giving all diligence. And you say, you know what? I am not marked right now by giving all diligence to add to my faith. I've been lazy. There was a point in my life where I was all about it. But I've gotten caught up in money. I've gotten caught up in giving diligence to some other thing. But not to my faith, adding to my faith. And you would say tonight as a Christian, God has shown me that I need to get back to giving all diligence to add to my faith. And you would say, that's me tonight. I've been getting off on something else. I'm getting back to giving all diligence to my adding to my faith. Anyone here? Amen. Okay. Praise God. Had one other question. Maybe you're here tonight and you would say, you know what? I can't get started on this math lesson because I don't have faith. I've never put my faith in Christ alone. I've never been bought by the blood. And you would say, you know what? That's my problem. And is there anyone here tonight? You've never been saved. You don't have that settled assurance that you're going to heaven. Is there anyone here tonight that just by uplifted hand say, that's me tonight? All right. Now, Lord, I pray that you would bless this truth and help your people, Lord, to respond as they ought. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.